Sing to the Lord a new song. Yeah. You know, some of the modern Christian music, sometimes I wonder about, only because I can't hear or understand what they're singing. Now, Tina Crowder sends me songs sometimes, and she always includes the closed caption with them because she knows that I have said that before. And when I'm seeing the words, even though I can't understand what the singer's saying, when I see the words, I say, wow, what a beautiful song. But that's just the way the music is today, and I'm sure other people can understand it. They don't need the closed caption. But there's a lot of Christians that are critical of modern Christian songs. I like the old hymns myself, but that's me. I always said that if you have a hymn book, you can read some of the greatest sermons ever preached in the church just by reading the hymns. But I digress. Some people's complaints are mostly the same about some of the songs and are empty in any context. Or maybe they're too repetitive. Somebody said, oh yeah, they sing 7-Eleven songs. 7 words and they sing it 11 times. I don't know if that's what happens or not, but some of the modern praise and worship is, to me, it's just not good. But it says in Psalm 96, and if you love the scriptures, you got to appreciate it. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. So I think it's okay. Faithful saints, I think, would be happy just to sing old hymns like me. Maybe it's because I'm an old guy, I don't know. But I also sympathize with their complaints. But, you know, I love the buts and the ifs. But Psalm 96 begins with that phrase, sing to the Lord a new song. Now, it would be great to be able to sing all things, and it would be great sometimes just to stop singing and just be in the presence of God. Nothing wrong with that either. Christians have sung down through the centuries. We as Methodists are called singing Methodists, shouting Methodists, and people of the book Methodists. So we need to continually write and sing new songs too. I make up songs. Some of them are good, some of them not so good, but I never write them down. And Judy said, where did you get that? I said, I don't know. I can't sing it again because I don't remember and I don't write them down, but I like to praise the Lord. So we need to continue to write songs in the language and music styles of today. Now, I don't like the modern rock and roll music. I like the rock and roll music of the 50s and early 60s because then it started to change. But music is music, and the music ministers to people. Even when Saul was in depression, he used to call upon David to bring his harp and play a song on the strings instrument, and it would calm Saul down. Well, sometimes even such different situations like a celebration or tragedy might better be expressed in the words of a new song. I thank God for the contemporary songwriters. We have one in our church. Well, you might know him. Oaks. What's his name? Travis Oaks. He writes songs all the time. And he is great at it. So I thank God, and I thank God for all the songwriters who bless the modern church with their new compositions. The first 3 verses in Psalm 96 provide the foundation for the psalm. First, all the earth. That's a command to sing to the Lord. This isn't just all people, but all created things. And I do think that God deserves praise from the billionaire and the baker and the well digger and the badger and the banyan tree, for he made everything. So we do need to sing to the Lord. And all the songs we sing should proclaim his salvation. Now, where there is a place just to sing God's praises, good songs remind us of how God has saved us, especially for the New Testament believers in the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because if it wasn't for the resurrection, we would always be like some of the other religious things in the world. But praise be to God, because of the resurrection, we have hope, and our God is alive. Yes, he is risen. He is risen indeed. So there's only one God. All other gods are either pieces of wood or stone or fiction of somebody's imagination. I like what the psalmist heaps up the words to honor God, to whom he ascribes as splendor and majesty and strength and glory. Psalm 96 commands all people to fear the Lord and tremble before him. Perfect love drives out all fear, 1 John 4:18. And Christians don't live in terror of our loving Heavenly Father. No, we don't fear God. You are to fear God, but it depends on how you look at that word fear, because the word fear in the Bible means reverence and awe. I think it's better translated love, but fear is what the old English people translated it, but that's what it means, in reverence and awe. At the same time, we see in Psalm 95 that we never want to take for granted our salvation and live carelessly. Rather, we must work out our salvation. Now, that's not a works thing, but we need to be able to think and reason, to be able to understand our salvation and work out, come closer and closer to God without fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. So Psalm 96, I think, reminds us that there will be a judgment day for every person. And while the Lord Jesus has taken our sins away, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. This should evoke godly fear in the hearts of all of us. Now, the psalmist also instructs all creation to rejoice because God comes to judge the world. Psalm 96, verse 13. Let's look at that verse 13 again. It says, "For the Lord is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and all the nations with his truth." Wow. Think about that. In the book of Revelation, the heavenly host and the believers who have died in Christ are heard worshiping God, like Psalm 96. They pile up the words to describe his greatness in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. They sing songs of salvation, worshiping the Lamb in verses 9 and 10. They also rejoice in God's judgment, chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. So perhaps the greatest lack in the modern church is that we don't often hear this call and announce and sing, as it says in Psalm 96, verse 10. He will judge the people with equity. Yeah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus, for judging us in the way that needs to be done, because you have given us forgiveness of sin. So we can stand before you in the judgment seat and know that we have been forgiven. And you will show all the love and passion that is due to us. And we thank you for that. The other thing I think about Psalm 96 is that as we look at them, I think sometimes it takes a few moments to say, worship the Lord in splendor and his holiness. Sometimes we don't think about holiness. If you are holy like God is holy, you are in his presence and you receive holiness. Wow, what a wonderful gift. But why do you think maybe the singers of the Bible, because most of the Psalms are meant to be sung, so why do you think the singers in the Bible are coming, talking about the coming judgment, an event for joy and praise, while the modern church seems to ignore it? I don't know that, but we need to prepare our hearts and our minds for the receiving of our King, because he is coming back. He is coming back in clouds of glory because of the forgiveness and the love. So we sing joy. We sing praise. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, all creatures here below. Wow, the doxology. I think that maybe we ought to think about that. That's what Paul was talking about when he calls it doxology. It simply means praise. So we're grateful that you've tuned into The Word is the Way to Life, and we're getting close to the end as we approach Psalm 100 very soon, but we're grateful that you're here, and Thanks for tuning in. I hope and pray that we've been an encouragement to you, and we thank you for all your love and support and comments that you share. It's really encouraging to me, and I just love talking about God. I hope you can see that or hear that through this message. Well, God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed day.